Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we bow our heads and our hearts to you this morning in the middle of this worship service, to worship you again, Father, to invite your presence again. Lord, you've spoken to us from the bread of heaven, the bread of life. You've ministered it to our hearts thus far. And Father, we just ask that you would now continue that work. Father, to speak to each of our hearts those things that you have for us today. Father, I pray that the things that we've heard and that we will hear would conspire together in our hearts with your Spirit to make us a little more like Jesus, to where the Christ life would be a little more clearly reflected out of our lives. Father, we pray that you would continue your work. Lord, we pray that you would not end that work till Christ be fully formed in each one of us. So, Father, we invite your presence. We ask you to be here. Anoint my lips. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts once again in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Greet you in Jesus' name. I certainly count it a privilege to be here on a Sunday morning. I don't know that I've ever been here for a Sunday morning service before, but I've been here many times. And thank you to all of you who labor to make it possible for Allen County to host so many meetings, ministers' events. It's been a tremendous blessing to many people. And I've gotten over the years to very much appreciate your ministry here, get to know them more and more as time goes on. It's a blessing to see more of the congregation this morning. But God bless you all. Thank you to those of you who served last night. Made that a blessing for all. My wife and I were blessed and encouraged. And, you know, if even a few marriages were invigorated, inspired, were rekindled, were energized to make a difference, God only knows how far reaching those ripples might go, those effects might be. If it affects three little children in a home positively and they grow up and in turn affect others, God only knows. And God also knows who to reward for that. God doesn't just notice the ones who are up front or the ones who we notice. God knows who cleaned up last night. God knows who cooked. And he knows how to keep good records, and he promises rewards. Thank you, Brother David. I so appreciate the theme of gratitude. It's made a tremendous difference in my life. When we learn to truly be thankful, and then tell people, tell God and tell others. God help us not to wrap gifts and just never give them. Interesting thing that I've noticed over and over in that little passage, that little account of the 10 lepers. 10 were cleansed, but 9 were only cleansed. 1 was made whole. And I believe there's something in that for us. We can be cleansed from a lot of things. Our lives can be cleaned up, touched by the hand of God. But with the inner changes that have to happen for us to experience true gratitude, true thankfulness, comes a wholeness, a completeness, a healing. Thank you, brother, for that. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, for a few verses here in the beginning to Psalm chapter 25. And we'll read verses 6 and 7. Give you a little backdrop on this message. I'm responsible to organize the openings, children's lessons, and sermons there at home in our congregation. And that's on a Sunday morning. If one of those brothers is not there, I start getting a little uneasy. And one Sunday morning, the brother who was supposed to have the children's lesson was not there. Singing was happening, and he didn't show up, and he hadn't called me. And rarely happens that someone doesn't show up and doesn't call, but I thought he may have missed it. And so I was scrambling a bit in my heart and in my mind to maybe have something for the children if I needed to after the opening. And this thought came to me that I'm sharing today. And by the time the brother showed up and took the children's lesson, I was a little disappointed. I wanted to share. And so I'd expanded. I realized that it is something for us older children too, and a very powerful thing in our lives, and something that the Word of God has a lot to say about. And so here it is. Psalm chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And I would like to just title this message this morning just very simply, "Remember and Forget." Remember and Forget. And I had originally thought that I would title it "Love Remembers and Love Forgets" or something a little longer, but we'll just call it "Remember and Forget." And here we have God. David's asking God to do both. There's some things that David would like for God to remember, and that God promised he would remember. And there are some things that David really needed God to forget. And guess what? God said he'd forget him. So we're going to look at God just a little bit this morning and how he does that. But we want to end with looking at our own lives, our own hearts, and see how that applies to us. But if you stop and think about it, memory is fascinating. Memory is a part of who we are. It's really part of the essence of our existence. Without memory, life has no meaning. And really, self as we know it, our individuality, who we are, doesn't exist. Memory is so tied up in every aspect of who we are, of our being. And some of you have met people who have lost memory, or who have very, very short-term memory. Most of us claim a bit of that. But you know how crippling that is. So it's a very precious gift. Without it, which we would be up a creek. Life would not be the same. But if it's cultivated wrongly or even just left unguided, it can quickly turn into a very seriously debilitating, crippling, poisonous thing in our lives. That's memory. But forgetfulness is also a good gift. Imagine a life in which you could forget nothing. How cluttered your life would be. It would be impossible to function if we were not able to forget. Often forgetfulness is appreciated less, and we know that overmuch forgetfulness or wrong kind of forgetfulness is a problem. It's crippling. But without the gift of forgetting, life would become impossible. It would become unbearable. So as much as it is a blessing to remember, it's also a blessing to forget. And as with every other contradiction, tension in life, the thing for us to do is find that way to walk between the two blessings. And the goal is to find and understand the difference between all we want to and need to remember and what we want to and should forget. You know, there are times when we remember more than we care to. You know what I'm talking about? There are times when we remember more than we care to. There are other times we forget more than we should. Times when we remember less than we would want to, and times when we forget less than we would want to as well. You know, if you think about it, sometimes the strangest little thing sticks with you. You probably have some of those in your mind, just strange little memories. You don't know why they stuck, but they stuck. There they are in your mind. Other times, it's incredible how big and how momentous a thing that you can forget. You ever had the experience of someone relating something to you of serious significance that you were involved in, and you cannot remember it? And you're tempted to question their memory, but it's gone. And so sometimes we're tempted to think that these little minds of ours, this memory and this remembering and forgetting, is not really in our control. Another interesting thing about memories is that they seldom stay the same. They often change as you go along. And I hope you've noticed that in your own life, and I'm guessing you've noticed it in others' lives, that memories tend to change on you. And with that knowledge, we should develop a healthy caution of depending too heavily on our memory of what happened. The real facts can become faint and distorted. Our perceptions are affected by our lenses at the time. Something rather minor at a time when we're discouraged, maybe a minor reproof that someone brought to us, gets etched into our memory as this massive criticism, this tearing down, this chewing up and spitting out. And the reason it's remembered that way is because we were down at the time. In reality, it was a small reproof. Other times, perhaps if we're encouraged and feeling very confident and perhaps a little self-confident, someone could bring something much stronger to us, and in our memory it's etched as this little concern they brought, and we should have paid attention to it. You see how the lenses that we're looking through at the time affect what we remember and how we remember it. My brother and I, older brother, Silas and I, for years had a disagreement about an event with the cats in the cow barn. And I could tell you the story, but we don't have time for it. But both of us thought it was us and our little brother. I thought it was me and little brother Ben, and he thought it was him and little brother Ben that this happened to. And so, you know, this contention stayed there for a good long while. You know how sometimes when you're together as families and you talk about memories, this was significant enough to come up every time, and he would claim it. I so clearly remember that was me. Well, we finally let old bones lie. And then I was reading through an old letter. I can't remember what it was that I had written. There it was. I had written about it. And sure enough, it was me. Guess what he did when I told him that? He said, "No, I never thought it was me." He'd forgot that too. But memories are not so accurate. He truly thought that for a time. Another thing about memories, whether good or bad, they tend to shrink or grow. Often they grow, sometimes they shrink. You know how you can look back today at some momentous happenings of your past and it looks much smaller, less significant now as you remember it. Other things you look back on and it looks huge. And again, this affects our lenses. I remember the old swimming hole on the farm I grew up in. I remember the first time I managed to swim clear across that thing. 5, 6, 7, I don't know how old I was, but I managed to swim all the way across it. Etched in my mind as it was in the creek. Nice, large swimming hole. 5 of us brothers would swim in it. Plenty of room for all. Stretch to get across it. Recent years, I went back to the old home place. The thing's a little mud puddle. Perception, memory, and it's not that accurate. And the devil likes to use that, growing and shrinking memories, inaccurate memories. He has used it many a time, and he still likes to. But one common lie that we believe is that what is stored in our storehouse of memories and what is not stored there, in other words, what we remember and what we forget, is outside of our ability to affect or change. We tend to believe that we can't really help it, what we remember and what we forget. You know, I can't really help it that the country song sticks and the Bible verse doesn't. It just does. I can't help it that the memory of the wrongs I experienced 10 years ago is still as fresh as if it happened yesterday. I didn't try to keep that memory there, but there it is. I can't help it. 10 years ago, and it still feels like yesterday. I still remember it as clear as yesterday, that wrong that happened to me. And I can't even remember any good things that happened in that time period. And we think that we're stuck with that. We think that we tend to feel like we can't really help that. This morning, I would like to just shatter that. I would like to completely shatter that idea. It's not biblical and it's not true. The Word of God teaches us that we can affect, and we're called to affect what is stored in that storehouse and what is not. And love is to be the dictator of what happens there. Now, yes, our memories consist of events in our lives that often were out of our control. Many of us can't control the events in our lives, the things that happen to us. They are out of our control. And that's what our memories consist of. That much is true. But it is up to us. It is up to us how we remember those things and what we remember. And of course, this can only happen by the power and grace of God's Spirit dwelling in our hearts, with the Word of God as our guide. And this thing of what we remember and what we forget has a tremendous impact on relationships. Tremendous impact on your and my relationships if we are willing to guide our minds, to renew our minds in this area. You know, with the rarest of exceptions possibly, I'm going to give that, but you and I are not one of those. We get to choose whether our memory storehouse is filled with good and precious, joyful memories or haunting, painful, debilitating, crippling memories, even if our life has been full of difficulty. We get to determine that. And what this storehouse is filled with has a powerful effect on how we feel, on what we do, on how we relate. Tremendous effect on that. Think of your most embarrassing moment. And if I gave you 5 minutes to just think down the lines of your most embarrassing moment, just the memory of it, for many of you, would have the power to make your face start getting red. And if I was to tell you some of mine, my face would get bright red. Memory. It's gone. It's a long time ago. We can even laugh about some of them. The power of a memory. Memories can make us feel cheerful, happy, energized, going along your day, precious memories, or going along your day and everything's fine. Until the memories hit, and all of a sudden the bright day turns gloomy, depressing, condemning. Memories can do that to us. Makes a tremendous difference. Memories, what you choose to remember, Brother David, will make the difference whether you feel thankful or cheated. All of us have the capacity to do that. All of us have enough things in our life that if we choose to remember and store them up in our storehouse of memories, we will live life feeling cheated. All of us also have enough good things in our lives that happen to us along the way that if we will notice and store up in that storehouse of memories, we will feel thankful and blessed. It's up to us. Notice, Brother David, he mentioned 2 years of coming here, and I don't know the history on all that. I think it's been some time ago. But notice what he remembered when he was up here and thinking about that time. Remember those gifts, whatever all those were, that y'all sent home with them. Now, I dare say there was probably hours on the road and weary nights and troubles, and I don't know what all that consisted of. I dare say that those things are there somewhere. But notice what he remembered, and it created a thankfulness in him, and it created an appreciation in him for you brothers and sisters here, all because he chose to remember that, but he could have nursed the other. Bless you, Brother David. Which of these causes the most problems in this world, in the church, in the home, in relationships? Which of these will cause the most problems? Is it the things that have been forgotten that should have been remembered? Or is it the things that are remembered that should have been forgotten? And if you'll think about that a little bit, you'll agree with me that it's the latter. It is the things that are remembered and nursed and hung on to that should have been forgotten, that do the most damage, that tear up the most. It's also not good to forget that which should be remembered. But more trouble comes from things remembered that really should have been forgotten. And so that is some thoughts about memory and its power in our lives. We'd like to briefly look about how God practices both. And we are, along with David, there in the psalm, incredibly grateful for that. God practices both remembering and forgetting. And let me just read to you a handful of verses. God remembers. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." I am grateful that God chooses to remember those things. Young people cleaning up last night, serving. God remembers them. God marks it down. God doesn't forget. He's not unrighteous to forget the work and labor of love. Brother David coming here 2 years. God remembers it. He doesn't forget it. All of you here serving, God remembers and doesn't forget. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Another thing God remembers, this it says he writes in a book, Malachi 3:16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, noticed it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." Those who are edifying and encouraging each other, that you brothers do that a lot here with each other. God notices. It says he writes it in a book. He doesn't forget. It's written down. Acts 10:31, Paul said, Peter, I believe, said to Cornelius, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard," and then, no, this was the angel, as I recall. "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." God remembers those alms. God also remembers his people, his child. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Take courage in the fact that God will never forget you if you're a child of his. It's easier for a mother with a new baby to forget that baby, and you know how hard that would be for a mom who loves her child, than for God to forget you. And the Lord also remembered some very tender things about Israel in the early days. Last night we talked about first love. God said to Israel in Jeremiah 2, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord." God remembers that first love. And he wants us to still experience it. God doesn't forget that. Even with Ephraim, when he pronounced serious punishment upon him there in Jeremiah 31, he says, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord." The Lord remembers even an erring child. Doesn't forget him. Never forgets. God also remembers the sins of the wicked. Jeremiah 14:10, "Thus saith the Lord unto his people, Thus they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." There are those whose iniquity God remembers. Brother and sister, let that not be you and I. There are those whose iniquity God remembers. Hosea 7:2 says, "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness." Marking it down. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. God does remember the sins of those who are wicked, the sins of those who have not been sent before into judgment. God has a good memory of those things. And so it's important for us to remember that God doesn't forget, or to never forget that God remembers these things. But then God also forgets. And when God forgets, it's a choice. God is omniscient. God is not forgetful. But God says that He forgets. And when God forgets, it's a choice. And even so, our forgetting often needs to be a choice. It didn't just slip God's mind. Listen to this. Isaiah 43:25 says, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." There are those people whose sins God will remember very clearly, and then there are those whose sins and iniquities God will forget. Are you one of those? Those are they who've trusted in Jesus, who've come to the light, who've been washed. God says, "I'll forget." I'm so glad God forgets. Jeremiah 31:34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Aren't you glad God forgets? And in Hebrews, twice he quotes that, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and in their iniquities will I remember no more." I'm so glad that God forgets that sin that is so shameful, that is so sinful. After it's been repented of, confessed and forgiven and washed in the blood, God forgets. Completely forgets. It's as if we had not done it. God does not keep a record of it anymore. And it didn't just slip his mind. But he chose to forget for you and I. Always remember that God forgets. Always remember that God forgets. But now it comes to our part. God does this. We started in looking about how our memories affect us, and it seemed like God's memories affect him. He chooses to forget the sins of his children, and the air is clear, and the relationship is free. He chooses to remember the sins of the wicked, and his face is turned away from them, and his arm is stretched out still. God's memories affect him. Don't go too deep in theology there. But I would like to encourage us first to remember to forget the things that we should forget according to the Word of God. And then I would like to encourage us lastly to not forget to remember. Remember to forget. Philippians 3:13, and you can turn there if you want. I know I'm reading a lot of Scripture, and we may turn to a few. Philippians 3:13. We sang that little chorus this morning. One thing to forget, said, forget about yourself and worship Him. Oftentimes we need to forget about those around us and worship Him. Forget. Philippians 3:13, Paul said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We will not comment on that before we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Things that the Scripture teaches us to forget. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." Now, if you switch translations there, you would see that that last phrase in verse 5 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. thinketh no evil. It doesn't tally. It doesn't keep any record of wrongs. In other words, love refuses to remember wrongs. Love chooses to forget those evil things. God does this for us. And we ought to consider this morning that perhaps we should do it for each other and for ourselves, for our own sake. Many of you have had this experience. I've had this experience in the past where I failed someone in a rather big way and apologized, was forgiven, things were clear. But sometime later, maybe a year or two later, it comes back to my mind and I mention it to the brother. He can't remember it. I'd failed him. He can't remember it. He could have been hanging on to that. Even though I've apologized, you know how our memories do. But no, he couldn't remember it. It was gone. And it wasn't because he was senile either. No, he has a sharp mind. It was because he chose not to remember it. It was because he chose to file it in the forget folder instead of the remember folder. He chose. I don't know that his mind just naturally did that, though. An encouraging thing is that the more we practice it, the more we do it without thinking. Remember the right things and forget the right things. That is so freeing in a relationship. When there is no record of wrongs, when there's something to be cleared, it's cleared. But then there's no record, there's no catalog, there's no list. Not only forgiven, but forgotten. I would just ask you and I, are we able to do that with our wife, with our children, with our brother in church? Are we able to keep no record of wrongs? Or do we feel like this mind somehow is going to choose whether it's going to remember that or not? And the circumstances and who it is and all of that, how I feel about that person gets to dictate whether I remember or forget. Don't let those things dictate it. Let the Word of God choose what you remember and forget and choose to keep no record of wrongs. You ever had it where things have been okay, things have been so-so between you and a person, and then something comes up, and all of a sudden a whole catalog of things comes to your mind about that person? Hurts along the way, things of the past, comments he or she made. You ever had that happen? Somewhere we're not making a purposeful effort to both forgive and forget, as God does with us and as He calls us to do. When that happens, I'm not remembering to forget as I ought. Remember to forget. You know, remembering wrongs ends up with us nourishing and nursing the memory of wrongs and perceived wrongs. And those memories grow and change over the years. It may have been wrong or it may have been a perceived wrong. I remember some years ago, I was a deacon at the time going with the ministry at our church, our congregation, to visit a family that it was time for them to make some choices. It was time for them to decide whether they were unified with the brotherhood there, whether they wished to move on. We went there and we had a meeting, and I thought it was a very, very worthwhile meeting, just asking questions, encouraging them towards a decision, giving them a time frame, say take some time to think about it, but in 6 months we would like to understand where we're going, inviting them to stay, releasing them to go. A couple days after that meeting, this brother came to me, and I don't know that he came to me. It was in a conversation. He told it to me. With tears in his eyes, said he'd never, ever experienced such a good meeting with ministry in his life. Ever. Yeah, that's how I felt about it, too. It was a good meeting. He responded well, and it was a good meeting. It was less than a year later that his version of that meeting had changed radically. And I won't tell you just what words he used, but it was a terrible meeting. It was a serious overreach of authority. It was like an earthquake happened. It was like a rug had been jerked out from under them less than a year later. And I don't doubt for a minute that he actually believes that. But he didn't. But his memory changed. That can happen to us. And you know, I'm sure there was an element of surprise there. I'm sure that while we saw this coming and while we saw the meetings we had with him leading up to it as leading to this, I'm sure there was an element of surprise in there for them that evening. And that is what took root and grew and overwhelmed all the other memories, and he's left with that version of what happened that evening, and he's bitter. His memory. And the reason I tell you that about the few days later is that wasn't just me who thought it was a good meeting. He did too, a few days later. But his memory. Nursing perceived or real wrongs, why not do the opposite? Joseph is an example of a good forgetting. Genesis 41:51 says, "And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house." Manasseh. God hath made me to forget. Now, we wouldn't imagine that Joseph had no memory of being thrown into the pit. We would not imagine that that was deleted from his memory, or the injustice at Potiphar's house, or the injustices in the prison. But something changed Joseph's memory. Something changed in Joseph's memory, and I think it was that way all along, where he did not nurse these things. He did not cherish these memories. He did not feed them. And God hath made him to forget. We need God's strength, like Joseph did, to be able to let go and forget. And we don't think that he could not recall those events. Of course he could. It doesn't mean forgetting as if they never happened, some of these things. Far from it. But as we do this forgetting, as we do this purpose for forgetting, the cruelty of those experiences will lose its sting. The injustice will disappear. The memory of the feeling, the memory of the damage goes away. It's gone. And it's freedom from the chains of experience. The past survives, but we can move on beyond. Joseph forgot his misery. He forgot the injustices. Remember that what we remember changes over time. If you choose not to forget the unpleasant things of your past that you're holding on to in nursing, provided they're worked through, and we'll look at that, they'll often get worse in your memory and hinder you. That storehouse will come to bite you when you're happy and make you blue. Choose to forget, and they'll begin to diminish in size. And all of a sudden, that pit doesn't, looking back at it, it doesn't look quite as dark and deep anymore that Joseph was thrown into. Oh, he was in the pit, but somehow, as he chooses to forget, as God helps him to forget, he remembers more about God's presence in that pit than he does the pit. That's what God's calling us to. Remember to forget. We forget the imperfections of our parents. We forget the unkind comments of a classmate. We forget the insensitive word by a sister. We get to forget. God enables us to forget. You know, some of us think it's hard to forget or remember to choose that, but it's not that hard. The process of forgetting is simply reverse of the process of remembering. To remember something, purposefully, you choose to hang on to it. You choose to revive it, to roll it over in your mind if you're doing it purposefully. If you're trying to remember a Bible verse or an event, you'll roll it over in your mind until it finally sticks there for good. To forget, we do the opposite. We reverse the process. When the image of something, the memory of something that should be forgotten arises, we get to turn our mind from it and think about other things and think about whatever is good and pure and just and lovely. We get to do that. And as we do that over and over, these memories can be adjusted to what is God's will for us to have here in our minds and hearts. You know, as we remember the faults of our parents, the injustices of others, the unkind words, damage actually increases in our hearts. Not because the faults grew or the injustices grew or the unkind words grew. In fact, we may move beyond them, but because the memory grows. And so damage increases in our hearts and lives. Now I realize there are things we'll never forget. That's not sin. I don't think Joseph became unaware of his past, but the sting and the damage and the poison was gone. He made peace with his past. He forgot what he should and he remembered what we should. And also, please don't hear me as saying to sweep things under the carpet. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about saying taking something that needs dealt with and manipulating it out of your mind. No, deal with it. Then forget. I'm not talking about putting things under the carpet. People choose sad ways to try to forget. People that have memories. Some of you know veterans of foreign wars, especially the Vietnam War was a gruesome war. Many of those men turned to substance abuse to try to escape the memories that were etched there in their minds. Alcohol, drugs, people do that. Proverbs talks about that, 31 and verse 7. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. People turn to those things. People turn to positive thinking programs. Try to wipe out the negative and just hype up the positive. When God's not in it, these things are very hollow. Drink will destroy you. Positive thinking will leave you stranded. But God will never. God will never. Also, the Israelites demonstrated remembering the wrong things. When they got delivered out of Egypt and they got discouraged, they remembered the leeks and the garlics and the good food, and they forgot the misery they were under. They had it completely backwards. They remembered the wrong thing that day and forgot the wrong thing. Now, if they had just changed that, they'd have never felt the way they did about it. They should have remembered the misery, forgot the leeks and the garlic. Someone, B. Williams, wrote a poem about the very fine art of forgetting. And I like this little poem. I'm just going to read it to you. And then lastly, very quickly, we'll go over remembering. Oh, is it worthwhile to remember too long the grievance that caused our small sorrow? It darkened our day and it silenced our song. Why carry it into tomorrow? Strange that we should choose to hold fast to our heart, the thing that produces our fretting. 'Twould surely be better to take up the art, the very fine art of forgetting. Forget the unkindness that rankled a bit. Forget the quick words that were spoken. Shall we let the friendship we valued so long in one hapless moment be broken? And why do we take precious time to lament our blunders that prove so upsetting? Talk about embarrassing moments. If there is not mending, let's try for a while the very fine art of forgetting. Our yesterday's losses, our yesterday's fears, mistakes, we have some way lived through them. Our keen disappointments, our heartache, our tears, what profits us now to hold to them? This world would be for us a happier place, and there would be less of regretting if we would remember to practice with grace the very fine art of forgetting. God help us to forget. Keep no record of wrongs. Not nurse the wounds and cherish those memories and keep them alive as if they happened yesterday. But choose rather if things are dealt with and things are clear and all we're left with is this memory that haunts us, God help us to forget, to learn how to forget, to choose to forget. God has to choose when he forgets. Sometimes we do too. And then lastly, don't forget to remember. The Bible has a lot to say about remembering, more than forgetting. And we cannot look at all the verses. I'll mention a few. 1 Chronicles 16:12 says, 11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. 12 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. David talked about that this morning, noticing and being thankful. You know, if you notice the right things and remember the right things, thankfulness is natural. You do the opposite, fretting is natural. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember the benefits. Psalm 77:11 and 12 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Talk about being thankful and telling someone. But remember the good things from God. Remember the answered prayer. Remember the deliverance from the difficulty. You can remember the difficulty, or you can remember how God carried you through it. One or the other is probably going to be supreme in your mind, far supreme. When we nurse the difficulty, that memory, God's deliverance is very small. But if we can remember God's way of bringing us through there, the difficulty becomes smaller. Remember the good things coming through others, the kind words, the encouragement. You know, the ugly word sticks. Could we learn how to let that be filed in the forget folder and the kind word be filed in the remember folder? We get to choose the favor that someone did you, not in a way that makes you feel proud, but in a way that leaves you feeling thankful and unworthy. That's how you remember of how good God and people are to you. Purposely fill your memory storehouse with good memories, with memories of good things. If you journal, write them down. How's your journal look, by the way? How's that journal, that diary look? It's maybe a good indicator of what you're going to be storing right here. Now, I know David poured out his griefs and his complaints in his journal there in the Psalms, but he moved on to thankfulness. It wasn't just complaining. Watch for these things. Notice them. Remember them. This brings God glory. It brings joy to your heart. You know, it's the difference. A memory storehouse filled with good memories, memory storehouse filled with painful and hurtful memories is not so much the difference of someone's past. You've all seen that. The old person, the old grandpa you work for who has story after story after story after story of how he's been wronged, of the painful things people have done to him. David talked about the ugly neighbors. His life may well have been an easy life by someone else's standards, and yet he's left with these painful memories. On the other hand, you take the grandma in the wheelchair who had a terrible life, an unbelieving husband maybe, and when you stay around her, when you hang out with her, all that's coming out is these precious memories of how God cared and how people cared and how good people have been to her. And even for her husband, coming out of her mouth, things that he did for her and the ways that he cared for her. It's all in what got stuck and filed away in the storehouse of memories. And one is living his old years in bitterness and pain, and the other in thankfulness and joyfulness. God help us. God asks us to remember where we came from. He says over and over, remember that you were a bondman. Remember you were a servant, lest you forget. God wants us to remember our lowliness. Remember that we were a mess too. And let it affect how we relate to others. And as we looked at last night, God said, remember from whence thou art fallen. There are times to remember where we used to be and realize we're not there anymore. And repent and do those first works. Lastly, Scripture tells us to remember who we are. James says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God wants us to remember to get an accurate view of who we are and remember it. And that includes the fact that we're but dust. That includes the fact that we are very needy, that we are, as Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. God wants us to remember that we are a bondman. But also, that includes remembering who we are in Him. Knowing our identity, knowing that we're accepted in the Beloved, knowing that God delights in us. God wants us to remember who we are. Be not a forgetful hearer. The call this morning is to take inventory of our memory warehouse, our memory storehouse, to take a peek inside that filing system and ask ourselves, is love and God's Word dictating how we're filing the memories of our lives? Or is the carnal man doing that? Are we truly following the direction of God's Word and example in this matter? And if we are, if we see that going on in our lives, it's a beautiful thing. Our lives and the lives of those around us will continue to be blessed and changed by that simple fact of what we remember and what we forget. And our life will continue to be enriched. Others' lives will continue to be enriched by that store of God-touched, God-sorted, and God-aware memories. A beautiful storehouse. If we look into that inventory and don't find that, it's high time to seek the grace and the power of God to change. To begin sorting through those things and, with God's help, having a child named Manasseh. God has made me to forget. Otherwise, the poison of those faithless, selfish, and unloving memories will continue to leach into your present life and the lives of those around you as well. You'll find yourself unthankful, Brother David, miserable, and feeling cheated continually. You've seen people like that. It's high time, I say. Why? Because we're daily adding to the storehouse. It's not at a standstill. It's not filled and the door's shut. Daily we're adding. What are we adding? Which memories are we adding? What are we storing there? Don't forget to remember and always remember to forget. And then I would like to end yet, sorry about my poems, I love poems, with an old Irish proverb. And this does not recognize God's word in here, but it is very sound. Always remember to forget the things that made you sad, but never forget to remember the things that made you glad. Always remember to forget the friends that proved untrue, but never forget to remember those that have stuck by you. Always remember to forget the troubles that have passed away, but never forget to remember the blessings that come each day. Forget each kindness that you do as soon as you have done it. Forget the praise that falls to you the moment you have won it. Forget the slander that you hear before you can repeat it. Forget each slight, each spite, each sneer wherever you may meet it. Remember every kindness done to you, whate'er its measure. Remember praise by others won and pass it on with pleasure. Remember every promise made and keep it to the letter. Remember those who lend you aid and be a grateful debtor. Remember all the happiness that comes your way in living. Forget each worry and distress. Be hopeful and forgiving. Remember good, remember truth, remember heaven's above you, and you will find through age and youth true joys and hearts to love you. Each one of us, no matter how old or young, no matter how far down the wrong road we've gone with these memories, has a blessed opportunity, with God's help and by God's grace, to determine what is stored in that storehouse of our memories. I want anyone here to feel condemned, to feel like it's too late or to feel like it's out of reach. It's a simple thing. It's a children's lesson. Don't forget to remember, and always remember to forget. God bless you.